Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and this is a Zoom call out to the Pacific. And you like punk music, you like graphic novels, you want to hear a cool story. Kathy's Bordello, I have Kevin Zolden with me, dude. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. It's like Kitty's Bordello. But yeah, doing really good, man. Appreciate you for having me on. Appreciate it a lot. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. So, man, before we get into to the graphic novel, I just wanted to get the rundown on who you are, man. Tell me a little bit about where you're from.
I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Absolutely shaped me. I love Virginia Beach. It's awesome. But I moved away. I lived in San Diego for about 10 years. Now I'm lucky enough to be living out here in Hawaii. I had a little stint in North Carolina for about a year, but yeah, I'm out here and I love it, man. It's awesome.
Well, tell me about the moving of what led you from Virginia Beach out to San Diego.
I'm just nomadic, man. I always wanted to move out there, and the time was right, so I just did it. And didn't have much. I had like 3 bags. And moved out there anyway and made it work. And that was fun, man. That was a good adventure.
I hear you, dude. Yeah, that's you went East Coast, West Coast, and now you on Hawaii time.
Yeah, now I'm definitely in the middle of the Pacific. It's crazy, man. But it's fun out here. It's great. Very, very grateful to be out here.
Yeah, man. So if you don't mind me, what island were you on? Were the fires, did that affect you?
No, well, it did affect us. So we're not on Maui. We're on a pretty small island. I don't really want to talk about the island too much. Just it's really small, and I want the you know, to respect everybody's privacy. It's sure. It's only 3,000 people. It's extremely small. But they have a few resorts, and I'm able to work at one of the resorts as a bartender right now. And I absolutely love it. It's great. But Maui, that was our harbor. Lahaina was our harbor to get in and out of civilization pretty much. And it was the saddest moment ever. I was actually doing a podcast when I, like, right before I found out about the fires, and I was like, man, this is crazy. You know, it's seeing the community come together and doing everything that they have been doing for the community is amazing. And the banyan trees, like the historical banyan trees, survived it. So something good came out of it. Like, nature prevailed, and it's going to bounce back and make its comeback, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, man, I couldn't imagine, though, just the resilience of the people. Like, one thing, you're not in the continental U.S. anymore. I mean, you're on an island, and when something horrific like that happens, I imagine it's incredibly stressful, and you begin to really think about, okay, well, life just probably permanently changed for a while. We're gonna have to make some moves.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Definitely affected everybody. We had a lot of friends on the island that had family over there as well. So got to hear some, you know, personal accounts of it. And very tragic, man. But to turn it to a positive, it's so great seeing everybody come together when needed and really kind of support and encourage each other to do everything that they can.
Cool, man. Well, what about, like, growing up, like during middle and high school, what were you into?
So when I was really young, I played baseball, but I got into punk rock about 13, 14. Got into, you know, some local friends were going to shows and things like that. It was awesome, man. That's fun. You know, it was like a group of outcasts, you know, getting together, forming their own community. And it was amazing to be a part of it. Ended up playing music and having a whole bunch of different bands, and touring around the East Coast, things like that. That was fun, man. That was a great time. I wouldn't change them for the world. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the same here, man. And still do it every now and then. It'll be a weekend warrior, but
Yeah.
those are some of my fondest memories is just loading up and going to play a show, you know.
That's it. That's it. Oh,
So
yeah.
y'all did a lot of punk, right?
Yeah, mostly heavy rock and roll, like throughout my whole music stint. I played bass. I picked that because every band needed a bass player, man. And it seemed like a fun way to get in. And I wasn't the very best musician, so I was like, perfect. And yeah, I fit in that slot and then I actually learned how to play bass and I got even more fun. So yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
thing right now. It's there's a band that they've been looking for a bassist and a drummer forever, and it's exactly what you were saying is they're very talented guitar players, but they don't have the rhythm section. And we got to talking one night at an open mic, and I'll play bass for y'all. I mean, I'll totally do that. It's like, really? You'll play bass? Be like, yeah, I like playing bass. And on top of that, it's like there's not many of them. They're hard to find.
Yeah. Very true, man. And just playing along with the drummer and doing your own percussion thing, it's so much fun. It just adds so much layer to the
Yeah.
song in itself. Yeah. It's fun, man. It's a great time.
Totally. So, Kevin, you're nomadic. You have a background in music. We get along with that. So, man, tell me a little bit about your graphic novel, Kitty's Bordello.
Yeah, Kitty's Bordello. It's based on a true story. I found the story on Wikipedia and I just dove straight in. I was in a wiki hole. I was looking into all forms of it, who it affected, everything like that. So basically, the Nazis, they take over a brothel and they force the madame to work for them. They put microphones in the walls. And they spy on their own people. And the information that they came of, that came of it, amazing. It's crazy, like what actually happened with the story. And the fact that it hasn't been made into a movie or like a mini series is unfathomable. It's amazing. But I
Man,
do a I'm sorry.
oh, go ahead, go ahead.
I do a historical twist at the end of it to kind of make it a little more friendly, because what actually happened was completely tragic. But if you just switch one thing, it just broadens it up to something completely different.
You
And
had your once upon a time moment, huh?
exactly. Yeah, that historical fiction twist at the end. And yeah, man, it's everything lined up. I did create a few of the characters that didn't exist in history just to kind of progress the story in that particular way. And I couldn't be more proud of it, to be quite honest with you.
Man, I gotta tell you, Kevin, I'm so excited to know people like you, and I'm happy to have you on the podcast because that the graphic novel that is something that I have taken a lot of interest in over the past year, and like with this story, like you sent me the first part of it, and I went through it, you know, over the I guess we have been talking about a month through email. And so I've been going through it and I've read it several times, looking at the art, the illustration, and just really taking it in. And man, it kind of took me to like Inglourious Basterds to like some of those scenes in my mind. So very so if y'all are out there listening or watching, however y'all are ingesting this, is man, I think Kevin's got a little Tarantino in it, man.
For sure. I'm hugely influenced by Tarantino. A major one. If you read comics a lot, Garth Ennis is a huge inspiration of mine. He did Preacher and a bunch of phenomenal stuff. He did The Boys and everything like that, but Preacher is really the comic that kind of shaped me a little bit. Just I like violent stories that have a purpose, and the action of violence is meant to portray something. And it's just the way the actual story and the characters were talking and lining the story up. It just kind of unrolled very naturally, and I couldn't be more proud of it. It's a joy to read. Even though it's based in history and it's pretty compact in some parts, it's entertaining at the same time. So you don't need to know anything about history to enjoy the story. Kind of like Inglourious Basterds.
Right, yeah. So, man, you said that you dropped down the Wikipedia rabbit hole, but like, how did you get to that rabbit hole? Have you always been kind of a history buff, or?
Yeah, I like history. I wish more people did like history because I feel like you can learn a lot and prevent things from happening again. History is the best teacher, really. If you learn from past mistakes, you're not going to make them again. So yeah, I like history. I find it pretty interesting.
Right on. And so, like, man, like, Nazi Germany and just that World War II, very popular as of late. And I mean, right when you sent it to me and you were just given the debrief, I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to scope this out. And then, how did you meet the illustrator, the guy who would do the art?
So his name is Abel Garcia. He's from Barcelona, Spain. And his portfolio was just up on Instagram. I was looking it over. I was like, this dude's amazing. So I found out the courage to reach out to him. And I was like, hey, just kind of broke the ice. And guy's amazing. He's so talented, so fabulous. I can't say enough good things about him as an artist. And I gave him three characters. I wanted to see what he would do. Because they have to look like the people from history, they have to show a resemblance. And he sent me back the three characters, and I was like, "This is my dude, man. This guy's awesome." So yeah, we were able to get the relationship going and get this project rolling, and couldn't be more grateful.
So how long has the project been going on now? Like, you sent me part one. Is all parts complete?
So he's working on, it's five books, it's a total of five books. He's working on book four right now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm gonna release them like every 6 months, something like that. But each book takes about a pregnancy. It takes about 9 months to make, just going through revisions, things like that. It needs time to incubate. So been working on the story since 2019. It took a lot of research. The first four books are pretty much historically factual completely. And then I do that twist at the end just to make it a good, entertaining story within an ending that you're looking for in a tale like this.
Man, yeah, props to you, man. Just like with part one, like that was a aspect of history. Like sitting in history class and learning about that time is obviously not in the textbook. So, man, like, way to find an interesting story that is very captivating. And I mean, good grief. I mean, we're in a brothel and like there's this operation set up, and Kitty doesn't seem to be into it, but then she's kind of, okay, how can we twist this? How can we work this? 'Cause like she, not to give too much about her character, but I love that development of her is like she was helping some of the Jews get out of the country, and then the Nazis approached her to be like, hey, we need your help.
To put in pretty simple, we don't need your help. They threw in a prison and did some horrible things to her to make her listen. An offer you can't refuse, right? Yeah, it was pretty traumatic what happened, sir. There's definitely some violence in the book, but again, you have to build up the bad guy before you tear him down. I want people to hate these people because of what they did. You got to play with emotions, and the only way you can do that is to show them some horrific stuff that they did. I don't think it's too far out of the realm of taste, but it's definitely not good, and it paints the story so you are extremely on Kitty's side throughout the rest of the story.
Is this your first endeavor with storytelling and like creating this kind of art?
So I did one book before. It's called Unbroken, and that book has a lot of special meaning to me. It broke me into the comic field, and I wrote it and found an artist in Canada. And he did it phenomenally. It did turn into just a one shot, but I got enough great feedback from that, all digitally, all over the world. People really kind of latched onto it, and that was a lot of encouragement. So I wanted to step it up for the next project, do something with a good community of people. I'm putting it out with lesser known comics, phenomenal people. Can't say enough good people about that. And it's being printed through CWS Comics Wellspring, top quality printers over there. Really happy to be a part of this team. And yeah, I'm happy to see that it's not just going to be digital only. It's going to be available in individual issue print. That's something that's extremely special to me because, just it's
Be
like
able to
Field of
hold
Dreams,
it.
you know. Exactly. Something that's tangible. It makes it a little more real as opposed to just reading it on your tablet or something like that.
Yeah, man. So over the COVID years, I talked to a lot of musicians on the show, and they'll play for me on the show so that people can kind of get a taste of who they are. And it's them in their kitchen with their acoustic guitar. It's real, It's uncut, it's as close to the bedroom as you possibly can get. And we had the idea over COVID is like, let's make a record. We'll do a compilation record, and we'll let the fans of the show vote their favorite songs, their favorite artists, and we'll compile them. And man, the artwork, compiling the songs, getting it mixed and ready to be pressed on vinyl, and then finally having that product in your hand. There is nothing like that in the world, dude.
Yeah. Congratulations on finishing that project too. It's so great when somebody starts and finishes a project. It's something that needs to be celebrated, and that's artwork, that's community, that's what makes you an artist. So doing that, it's you putting yourself out there, that's amazing. Congratulations on that, man. That's great to have that tangible vinyl, especially. Vinyl sounds so amazing. I love it. You get those deeper bass notes in there, those frequencies, and it just doesn't sound like anything else. So congratulations on definitely going that route as well. That's amazing.
And that's great, man. Like I like that you're working with a guy from Spain, you work with a guy from Canada, and that's we have an artist here. I'm in Starkville, Mississippi, and you go over to his house, and he has this huge painting, and it was done with over 100 international artists, and they did it in blocks, and so one would start. And it would just be sent, and they all had a little bit to do with each block. And by the time they got done, you're looking at it, and it's like, just picture yourself at an art museum, and you would literally have to sit with this piece for 30, 45 minutes, and you're still not soaking everything in, just all the detail, It's insane.
You have to respect every artist's work, even if you don't get it or like it. That's one of the great things about this country, man. You have the freedom to express yourself however you need to. And it's something that needs to be valued and celebrated. And yeah, I get lost in museums. It's just so much fun. It's
Yeah.
the best.
This man, this conversation is really kind of taking me to like I think it was a Bukowski quote. It's the intellectual has a way of taking something simple and making it hard, while an artist has a way of taking something hard and making it simple. And
I love that.
man, yeah. And I mean, I think that's a big part of like what we do as artists, and getting out here and working with other artists, even if they're on the other side of the globe. To kind of tell the story. So the first three, the fourth one is in the process of being illustrated. So and we'll plug this again at the end, but just for those listening or watching, how can people connect with you and get their hands or eyes on Kitty's Bordello?
So it's going to be released through Lesser Known Comics pre-sale July 1st. It'll be available through their website, lesserknowncomics.com. So I have a little goodie pack too, and people can email me directly if they want the little goodie pack. I'll be happy to send it out to them. It's this little sticker, pizza party attestation. This little mini comic. It's got great artwork in it.
Oh, yeah, that's
Like the
nice.
whole, like a good little series. and it folds out into a poster. So not only the mini comic, it's a poster, and got some postcards as well. So
Right on.
they can email me at pizzapartyattestation.com. I'm sorry, pizzapartyattestation@gmail.com. I will have a website up shortly, pizzapartyattestation.com. I have a gentleman working on it right now. But so again, so happy to be working with this crew with Lesser Known Comics. They put out amazing things. They have amazing artists, Max Milo Flowers. They just put out Bubbles, phenomenal comic. Bunch of other things as well. They always have projects going on.
That's great to hear. You know, like I think over the years with Marvel and DC, that's the big ones that people typically flock to, you know, not only because of the movies, but just because of the stories that have been told for right at 100 years now. So it's great to hear about you know, lesser known comics or whomever else is just putting in the work, because a lot of times I think it feels like that field, if you're not working with DC or Marvel, it's like, how are people going to find this? How are people going to enjoy this? It's easy. I mean, think about Spawn or some of these other ones who are, they're not on DC and Marvel, and we tell and we know these stories just the same. So, way to get into that space, because it seems to me like between American comics and manga, like if you go to a bookstore now, it is completely taken over. And so it's good to see that American presence come back, because people don't seem to be reading and enjoying American comics like they used to.
I agree with you. Manga, it has some good tales in it, don't get me wrong. But I've always gravitated towards the artwork of Vertigo, smaller presses, Image, all the smaller ones, Dark
Yeah,
Horse.
Image.
Image, I mean, they're a phenomenal company as well. You know, they're creator owned, all their titles, they're not trying to rip anybody off. All those smaller titles, Mad Cave, Dynamite has good stuff if that's your type of artwork and things like that. Each one has a lot of value. So being in this creator owned field with lesser known comics, and I don't have to worry about my property being misused or anything like that. It's I don't want to use the word blessing, but it is, you know, I'm very grateful for it. Good-hearted people just trying to help the community. And that's exactly what punk rock did. That's exactly what, you know, rock and roll did for me. Growing up, I joined a community and got, you know, and dove into it head first. And that's the same thing that I'm doing with these comics and being a part of it. You know, nothing but gratitude. It's amazing.
Right on, man. It's always great to find your people. And I mean, like you said, like stepping out of rock and roll into this new endeavor. Man, that's great, because I don't think you do anything for all your life. I think everything has a season, right? And man, I'm happy for you, man. It's
Appreciate it.
nice. It's nice to meet you and kind of hear your story. So, man, I know it's we're looking into projection. I don't know if you like to speak things into existence or however your style, but let's say we get a part five. It's all illustrated and lesser known comics. You have that real copy in your hands. What's next, man? Are you gonna
Working
do
on,
like the comic cons, or I mean, what's going on?
yeah. So right now, being on a remote island, we're not going to be here forever. It's a temporary situation, but we're going to enjoy it thoroughly as much as we can. But probably not too long. Probably in, you know, next few years, we're going to be moving to a probably big city somewhere on the mainland, and yeah, I plan on doing a lot of more cons and getting out there, being able to meet people, going to comic shops, giving them the little mini comics, anything I can for promo that they can just give out for free. Just want to meet people, man. I love meeting people. That was the best part of playing shows. You got to meet people at the end of it, and with this project, I haven't really been able to do that with COVID and and everything like that, we moved out here during COVID. So I never really got to do any of the stores, promotion in stores, cons, anything like that. So definitely looking forward to that. It's the best part to be able to meet people that are moved by something that you've created. And I can't wait for it, man. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that was one thing,
Yeah.
man. I have a friend of mine. He does all his music, but he only releases it on Bandcamp. So it's not on Spotify or your Apple Music or YouTube. It's only accessible on Bandcamp. And he has this insane following in Australia, and he's from Alabama. And he was sharing with me all this and like showing me the map and like the following and all this, and I was like, man, you got to start.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Playing live shows again, and it's kind of that same thing that you're telling me is
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing, like you have the audience, you have found your people, but it's like imagine what it would be like when you finally get to connect with them. You get to meet them.
Exactly. 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 And the conversations that bloom from that and the relationships you develop, it just enriches and enhances your life. Nothing can beat that.
Yeah, man. What about this? Could you ever see this being something that may be like animated into a show, or like maybe like we said at the beginning, maybe it could be a film?
Exactly. So I see Kitty's Bordello as more of like a mini series on something like Netflix. Who knows? But that's the story. I think each individual book has its own story within that bigger story, if that makes sense. So one of the best pieces of writing advice I ever got is to think about telling your story in scenes. Break your story up in scenes. And that's what I do within each individual book. So I basically make like a greater chunk of the story and take it and put it into small scenes. So I really like screenwriting and that craft. I would love to see it adapted into something else, as long as it's done tastefully and they don't just take it and make something stupid and pointless out of it. That's really I would not be okay with that. I will not sell my rights to just have them make whatever they want out of the title. I want to be involved and things like that. If it does happen to get to that level, which I'd talk about gratitude, I'd be extremely grateful for something like that. But I wouldn't sell it just to sell it. It's something that I spend a lot of time on, so I don't want to see it morphed into something that's not.
Right on. You mentioned telling the stories and like building out the scenes and just going scene by scene. What about with character development? And I know like these are real historical figures, but the information that you had, you were probably just connecting the dots and doing the best you could. So a lot of artistic freedom with that, or how did you go about expressing these people?
So it's based on real events. So I just basically thought about the events, thought about the character, and it just flowed out. And that's how the ending came. I actually did it. I wrote it book by book. I wrote it in order, and I had no idea how it was going to end. I had an idea, but I didn't know for sure if that was going to be it. And then the characters, being individual people, were just telling me what needed to happen. So I just followed along with that completely, and the ending just unfolded like a blanket, about to have a picnic. It was beautiful, man. I was like, hell yeah, I can easily, have a glorious, beautiful picnic on this. So that's how it worked out, and I couldn't be more proud of how it unfolded, and the themes and points that I want to make along the way. But the main part is that it's entertaining itself. It's got a great story, and the ending is explosive. So, yeah.
Right on. Well, dude, let's step away from that for a second. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the daily, man. What do you do in your free time when you're not trying to be creative? How do you let the air out, so to speak?
Being on a remote island is a little hard. We do a lot of beach, a lot of camp. So I like camping, I like beach time, I like reading a lot. It's a pretty peaceful spot, so I do a lot of writing. And as you were saying, I'm definitely thinking about other projects and things like that. And having a full-time job, you kind of need to take advantage of that other, one-eighth. You spend one-eighth sleeping, one-eighth working, and one-eighth is your free time. So being out here, it's pretty peaceful. So I do get a lot of time to write and things like that, even though things pop up all the time. You gotta deal with that. But do a lot of reading and writing, beach, just peacefulness. We have a dog, and I'm pretty sure the dog likes this island more than anybody because there's fields everywhere, and we just go out, throw the ball, have a great time. So there's a lot of time to just, be within yourself and think about everything that you want to plan out. And it's great. I couldn't be more grateful for it. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. So what about like back in your travels, like going East Coast to West Coast, man? What was like leaving the East Coast to go to the West Coast? Was there any culture shocks for you?
Completely, completely. When alcohol is sold at Target. Like I was taking pictures of that, like the first day I was out there. I was like, well, what the hell is going on? But it's I understood it a lot. I understood why certain things were pretty relaxed because it doesn't need to be as strict as it is. I really enjoyed most of the differences, but Virginia Beach is my home, man. That's where my family is. That's where everybody's at. I was born in Wisconsin, so all my extended family's out there, and I have ties out there as well. But Virginia Beach, moved there when I was one. It really shaped who I am. I didn't move out to California until I was in my mid-20s. So, Virginia Beach with the skateboarding culture, punk rock culture, definitely made me who I am. And being able to take that to California and kind of, even though I was in a big city, I still felt a lot of solitude at times too. And it was great just to kind of know myself a little bit better. It was a great time.
Yeah, man, that's one thing I like to do here, like when we're capturing these stories, just especially people who have travel experience. And it could be finances or it could be, maybe the person never thought about it. But the one thing that I always try to recommend to people, especially if they can, or even if they don't think they can, is travel. Go see as much of the world as you can. Get you a new perspective and man, take it all in, because it's so easy just like to take here with the Twin States, with Alabama and Mississippi. If this is all you've ever seen, you're not doing yourself any favors, you know.
Yeah, I agree fully. I feel my travel has really been an education. Not only the amazing, beautiful things, like we are in Florence, Italy. We're at the museum that had the Statue of David. And it's a beautiful statue to see in real life. But here's the thing about humanity. My favorite thing that I did not get a picture of, and it's on my bucket list. I need to do this before I die. I was standing pretty far back in the gallery, people looking at Statue of David. They were zooming in on his penis on their phone. And I wanted to get a picture of them doing that. And I got caught a whole bunch of times. And I was just like, ah, how do you not want that picture there?
It's pictures of people taking pictures.
Exactly. But really ridiculous things. Like it just shows you humanity at his finest, in all honesty. Like, because nobody got angry. Everybody was always like, yeah, I get it. I see why you're trying to do that. Like, it was all acknowledgement. So, yeah. Travel and just stupid stories like that. It's you know, just the mundane day to day in like a different country. Somebody doesn't speak your language, how you communicate. You learn so much just doing things like that and getting out there. It is hard. You got to save up money. You got to do it. But the value that it adds to your life is better than taking a, you know, a college course. It's mm-hmm. the, what you learn is easily as valuable, if not more than that. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I remember, man, we went down to Santiago, Chile for 2 weeks. And, I had taken Spanish in high school and, you know, bare minimum. And I remember, you know, family and friends, it's like, you're going to be down there for 2 weeks. You don't really speak Spanish. How are you going to get by? And I was like, hey, we'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll be just fine. And dude, after about 2 or 3 days down there, I was jamming.
Yeah.
I was getting in there.
How do you do with Spanish? Can you roll your R's?
Dude, not with a southern tongue. It's like
exactly.
It's like Spanish with a southern twang, and they always like smile and laugh. And it's good enough to get by. But it's always not quite.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not from here, but we appreciate your attempt to get it done. That's the way I always kind of felt. They were always like, thank you for your attempt. Yeah,
dude. Like with a southern tongue, man, like any other language, it's always gonna have some kind of twang on it, I think.
That's it. See, so accents are really, really important to me. I absolutely love them. In Kitty's Bordello, I have one character that is a spy. And he has like regular accent. He's British, and he has to do this Romanian Eastern European accent. And mm-hmm. being able to convey that, you actually have to study accents and see how it is, and realize that every I that they pronounce sounds like an E. So you have to write it like an E. And so being a student of accents, I absolutely love it. I do have a slight southern accent. It's not a lot. When I'm tired or drunk, it comes out way thicker.
Oh yeah, right.
It does. It comes out thicker. But I'm actually a huge. I love your accent. Your accent has a style of grace to it. It's a beautiful southern accent. And I just have to pay you credit for that.
Some Alabama Pines, man.
That's it, man. Jason Isbell. Yeah.
Hey, Alabama, my man. Pines.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. Drive-By Truckers. Blew me away. I absolutely love that band.
That he's probably one of my favorite songwriters, Drive-By Truckers, man. Yeah, those guys, hardest working band in the land for the longest time. Matt Patton, Patterson Hood, Isbell. Man, shout out to those guys.
Mike Cooley, they're all Cooley. Phenomenal songwriters. Yeah, man, yeah. They're all great songwriters.
And what's crazy is like going back to those records and like listening, like obviously. If Mike Cooley wrote it, he's singing it. But I can't picture like Isbell singing a Cooley song or vice versa. It's like it all has its place.
Exactly. Each one has their own voice, but when they're together, and they even add their own like backing vocals and things like that, they're just when they were all together, they are the perfect band, in my opinion. Couldn't be taken down. But I, you know, Jason Isbell going off doing his own thing, I think it really helped him out as a person, and he did nothing but grow as an artist from it. So you know it's, as much as I would love the Drive-By Truckers to kind of be a thing again, it's better that it isn't, man, because Isbell is happy and alive, and I think if he stayed in the Truckers, it would not be that way.
Yeah, man, it took me a little while. Like sobriety with him, it didn't sit well with me at first. With some of the later writings that he did with the 400 unit, and the more I sat with it, slowly it became some of my favorite work of his. Because I began to understand where he's at, and it was like, well, dude, if we still had that drive-by, well, we might not have him with us today. Because I mean, he was wilding out.
And he got a lot of good emotion. He did win me over with that 400 unit stuff. I forgot which album I was on. It's got a whole bunch of flowers on it, like a tree changing leaves or something. But it's a song called Good, and it's just basically about I can't make myself good. He's relating his struggle as best he can to you, and it's relatable, and it identifies him completely. So I got to see it, and just seeing his growth and everything, winning the Grammys, his wife that he plays music with all the time, having a kid, is completely perfect for him, and you can just see his happiness shine through. And I would not change it, even though I'm extremely greedy, and I would love to see some truckers do some more stuff. Him doing his own thing.
Yeah.
It's good for him.
Definitely, man. So, what other music you into? Like, what else do you like, man? We clicked it off for the drive-by truckers there.
Yeah, man. I listen to really everything, dude. So, punk rock got me into it, and then punk rock led to smoking weed, and that obviously turned to listen to a lot of hip hop and stuff like that. I listen to a lot of classical music. When I write, I can't listen to stuff with words. So I have everything from classical to film scores to heavy metal instrumentals to hip hop instrumentals. Just it's a conglomeration of literally everything. I mean, I like everything from bluegrass to polka to like 70s R&B, Al Green. I love music. And I really wish I was better at playing it. It would have been fun to kind of stick with that. But I wrote a few songs, and it was fun to get that out of me. But I think the path that I'm on now, writing and being able to express my ideas this way, I couldn't be more grateful for my Jason Isbell route.
I didn't know your music, but just getting to know your graphic novel work, man. I think you're right where you need to be. I think you're finding yourself with that, man. Props to you.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you a lot, brother.
And I'm excited for you. Let's do three more questions and we'll walk it out the door.
Sounds good, man. This conversation is great, man. It's so good talking
Yeah, man, I appreciate you taking me up on it. And
to you.
question one is, and we plugged it earlier, but if people want to connect with you, what is the best way to do it? Social media, or you did plug the website earlier.
The pre-sale for Kitty's Bordello will be on lesserknowncomics.com on July 1st. You can email me if you don't like social media. Just send me an email if you want. Pizzapartyattestation@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, pizzapartyattestation. Are you going to have any links? Because attestation is a hard word to spell.
I'll link that in the description.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. That's pretty much it. I'm on Reddit, and I'm on YouTube, like putting out trailers for each book and things like that, but I don't have any traction there. So it's mostly Instagram.
Right on. Well, I'll plug the YouTubes too. I'll look that up and plug that as well.
Appreciate it.
Well, yeah. Question two, man. We talked a little bit about Florence, Italy, and the museum with the sculpture of David statue. Man, where else have you gone that really struck you?
Costa Rica,
Oh, yeah.
gorgeous, gorgeous country. Just the nature was mind blowing. It was beautiful. Italy's still number one. I love Italy. we were in Spain. We kind of did like the whole Mediterranean coast. We went up to Girona, Barcelona. Before I knew Abel, I wish I knew Abel during that time. That would have been awesome to be able to meet him in real life. But we went down to Malaga. Beautiful. Absolutely love it. And just a bunch in the US. I think that's all the countries I've been to. Venice was absolutely beautiful. I just keep going back to Italy because, in my opinion, they won the battle of countries. They kill it, and it's everything's so beautiful there.
Right on. Last question to walk around the door, brother, is what was your favorite part of this conversation?
Just being able to talk to you, man, everything. With connection from drive by to hearing your stories about musicianship too and making the community connections. Because in all honesty, building the community is what everything is about. Being united. There's so much talk of division lately, and it's just really hard to connect with people when they have those division barriers up. And just being able to knock all that crap down, put it to the side and talk about what are similarities, that's the most impactful thing that I think that humanity can do. And I think if people did that more, we wouldn't have as much fighting and we would see each other as humans. And I think the level of respect would go up for sure. And that's what it's all about, man. Shaka. Out here they do the shaka and respect is number one. And if you follow that frame of mind, it heightens and provides value to your life so much.
I totally agree, man. Well, I appreciate you, Kevin, and being able to share your story with my audience here. It is Porch Talk, man, and it is the conversations that you and I or whomever else would have on a porch. And I appreciate you hopping on the virtual porch with me, man. It
I
is that.
appreciate you, man.
It is that, like I was listening to something today, and it was talking about high trust societies, or just the idea of respect. And it's like we want to get back to that place to where we do have respect for one another, but we also trust each other, because that'll go a long, long way. And I think these conversations are the building blocks for getting us there.
For sure, for sure. I mean, again, unity is the key, because with all this division and class and stuff like that, if the lower classes band together and work together, we can make positive change for the future. And that's the only way anything's going to get done, is if we quit talking about divisiveness and things like that, and we talk about what's a little bit more in common. Yeah.
Right on, brother. Well, Kevin, thank you so
I
much. This has
appreciate
been
you for
fun.
having. I appreciate you a lot for having me on, Alan. It means a lot.
Right on, brother.
Our eyes are closed. Me sad when I see the things I see. screen.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.